Hey Google, play USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast.
Sure, USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Here's where you left off.
This is the Coach and Coordinator Podcast Weekly Highlights. Last week we highlighted the hiring process for coaches. You can check that out in the blogs at blogs.usafootball.com. This week, Keith covers having a year-round calendar for your program. He talks about an NCAA stats leader in special teams. He has an AFCA Coach of the Year award winner. We get a reflection of a coach's 2018 season and a preview of what's to come at National Conference. Lastly, Keith provides us with some of the best clips from state champion coaches. Monday, we finish the Game Plan Your Next Job series with Coach Mike Kirshner and his idea of a year-round calendar program.
Well, I think it was imperative because it gave him an insight into what I think it takes to win. Sometimes when you're interviewing with administrators, they may or may not have ever been coaches. So they don't know, they know how to run an academic institution, but not necessarily an athletic program and what it takes to be successful. So I think it's imperative you walk in. I don't know that I've ever walked into an interview without a 12-month plan laid out for them. Even as far back when I was interviewing back in the early 90s to be the first-time head coach, I even had a 12-month plan then. I think by giving them the visual, it shows that you're organized, it shows that you're detailed, and it shows that the program has a direction and the direction you want to take it.
Tuesday, we talked to the University of Toledo's Robbie Disher, whose special teams unit tops the nation in blocks and punt return average.
Well, you had mentioned technique fundamentals, and I think that's oftentimes something that gets overlooked in special teams. You're not going to tell your offensive line to block that freak defensive end without telling them how to do it. It's the same thing on special teams. You got to make sure you practice the fundamentals of what you're trying to get done, especially in like spring ball or fall camp and early in the season. And you got to continue to coach the fundamentals and the details of that during the season as well. I wholeheartedly believe that I would rather be simple, maybe on a return unit, do two or three things really well, as opposed to be average on 10 things. And that's kind of always been my philosophy on that. And, you know, I think that starts with fundamentals and having your guys obviously execute all those things as to the highest level of their ability. Keeping it relatively simple, your guys can get really good at the stuff you're trying to teach. And I think you got to do a good job on special teams and those drills is evaluating the guys that can do it and the skills you're asking them to do, the techniques, the fundamentals and all that. And you know, you got to have drill work to emphasize what you're trying to get done, and you got to be able to evaluate who can do it. And it's easy to say, yeah, our all-conference safety or all-conference corner, those guys can, well, no doubt, everybody knows that. But, like, what about your twos and your threes? Who can help you in those roles and their opportunity to get on the field? And what can they do for you? And you got to put those guys in position to do what they do well.
Wednesday, we have Lindsey Wilson's defensive coordinator, Phil Kleckler, who won the AFCA Assistant Coach of the Year Award for the NAIA.
For me, when I turn the tape on, you know, I want to know how hard are we playing? You know, are we running the football? Are we, you know, keeping the easy things easy? You know, are we tackling, getting off blocks, playing hard within our scheme? And like I said, we talk a lot about keeping those basic fundamentals of tackling and block destruction and pursuit. You know, we got to do those things well from the start in order to, you know, execute our scheme and what we do. And a big part of our self-scout from 2017 to 2018, you know, after looking back on the 2017 season where we were extremely successful, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, what things do we need to change or do better? And we didn't feel like we needed to do anything different with our scheme, but we felt like we really needed to improve our tackling in order to kind of go to that next level, that next step. And so we went through in the spring last year and tagged all of our missed tackles in huddle, you know, by the player's jersey number. And then try to do it by specific type of tackle. So whether it's a box tackle, perimeter, open field, quarterback chase, where maybe a D lineman on a pass rush has beat his guy, but you know, missed the quarterback. Tried to break it down to different categories and self-scouted a little bit. And then as we went into spring practice, tried to drill those types of categories of tackles and improve. When we looked at it last year, I think out of 2017, out of all the defensive snaps, we defended, we had a missed tackle 20% of the time. So, you know, that's a big number, and I don't know what it would be at other programs, but we felt like it was a big number. But we worked really hard through the spring and fall camp this year to get better at it, and we tagged it throughout the season this year, and we're cognizant of it, and, you know, improved that to 15% of our snaps. So we got a little bit better, and, you know, it's probably not quite where we want to be. I think during the season, we always set a goal game by game to be at 10%. So if we defended 80 snaps, we get 8 missed tackles throughout the game on defense. And so that was always our goal. I think we met it 2 or 3, 4 times maybe, but we got better from 2017 to 2018 tackling. So for us, it's all about doing the little things, the easy fundamentals, and how hard we're playing and how well we're pursuing to the football. And so, you know, that's where we try to gauge our success from the start.
Thursday, we have lessons from the 2018 season with Coach Rich Alessio and a preview of what's to come at National Conference.
It's a spinoff of the RPO. Instead of identifying a conflict player on a run or pass scenario, we're identifying a conflict player on a pass or screen read. So, you know, to give an example, we're going to identify, you know, to say the Sam linebacker or the inside linebacker to the strong side, and we're going to run a pass route against that individual. And generally, it's got to be a route that's going to happen in 2 or less. So it's got to be something, you know, an isolation read that happens in 1.5 to 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. The goal would be in 1.5 to 1.8 seconds. And based on what that guy does, if he expands and covers that isolation route, then we're going to throw the screen back to the other side. If he hangs in the box, if he gets caught up, if he's man on the back, then we're going to be able to throw that isolation route to the receiver that we have. So it is a one-man read on a defender to be able to say we're either throwing a downfield pass or we're going to take screen steps and then throw the screen. And the timing works well to be able to say it's this one or that one. So really it's taking the fad of the RPOs, identifying a conflict player and telling that one kid. And generally it's the one kid that's the hardest person to block in a screen. You know, it's that backside inside linebacker. If you're running screen to the left, it's the inside linebacker over the right guard who generally backdoors that play. And it's tough for any lineman that's bailing out to the left to be able to see him and identify him back to the other side. So we've been able to calm that guy down. It has dramatically helped our screen game. The other thing, too, is it forces the eyes of the quarterback to the read side. So if they do cover, everybody's expanded to that side with the eyes of the quarterback, and there's very few people back on the other side to be able to cover the screen.
Friday, Keith rounded up clips from state champion coaches and what gave their team the winning edge.
Consistency in coaching, consistency in message, staying on those, reaching back on those values that you have as a coach and saying, hey, this is where we're going to stand and we're going to do it right. We're going to worry about the small things, the technical things. And, you know, the big things tend to take care of themselves. So, yeah, it's the consistency and the guys that I've had, been fortunate enough to have here coach with me, you know, consistency in that message and just being here ready to work every day.
We hope you've enjoyed this content as we've enjoyed providing it. Check out our blogs at blogs.usafootball.com and subscribe to the Coach Coordinator Podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Give us a like on SoundCloud or a 5-star review on iTunes. Don't forget to sign up for National Conference at usafootball.com/NC19podcast.